Proverbs chapter 27, and we will be looking at verse 1. Verse 1 reads, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." And this teaching here in the book of Proverbs by Solomon is parallel to what the Apostle James teaches us, that we ought not also to boast and ought not to forget that we know not, our knowledge of the future is limited, and it is contrary to our fallen nature, isn't it? You will find ourselves and men in general, men as in mankind, that we are always seeking the knowledge of the future. Or we can say a wrong kind of curiosity. We see here the opposite in this text, that it is of the Lord's mercy. It is of the Lord's mercy that we do not know what a day may bring forth. We do not know what tomorrow is in store for us. We have no knowledge of that, and it is of God's mercy to keep that from us. We often think that it is good to have foreknowledge. We often think, and men, as I said, in our fallen nature, we want to know the future, and that is why you see people, sadly, including the Christians, going to seek fortune tellers and going after feng shui and geomancy and all that, in order to know or have a glimpse into their future or what would happen to them later on in life. And so they go for all this, but this is strictly prohibited in Scripture, that we ought not to pry into that which the Lord has so willed to conceal from us. And it is of good purpose, it is of the Lord's mercy that we are, or such knowledge is hidden from us. No doubt, we ought to be thankful for knowledge. But in this case, we may particularly be grateful for ignorance. It is the glory of God, as we are told in Proverbs 25 verse 2, to conceal a thing. And it is most certainly for our happiness and for our good, the good of mankind, that God has so decided to conceal the knowledge of our future. Now, supposing we know or we have this ability or this knowledge to know our future days, and say we have this knowledge, we know that tomorrow or the future of my life, of your life, will be a very bright and successful one. If we have that kind of knowledge, very likely we will waste our time, loiter away our time until those days arrive, and we will have no interest in the present. If, on the other hand, we know or have the ability to know that there will be dark days, troubles are coming soon upon us, there are dark days of trouble in store for us, what would happen? And if we have this knowledge, this full conviction that soon it will be coming upon us, rainy days, troublous time, probably with that knowledge, it will trouble us. It will overshadow our present. It will bring worry to us. And so that the joy that we would have will depart from us. And we will fall into very nervous fears as to the distant future. So to know good, might lead us to presumption, to know evil, to know that days of darkness is coming, might tempt us to despair. So happy for us that it is that our eyes cannot penetrate the thick veil which God hangs over or hangs between us and tomorrow, and that we cannot see beyond the spot where we are now. And that, in a certain sense, we are utterly ignorant as to the details of the future. And for that, we may indeed be thankful for such ignorance. Although, however, we do not know what a day may bring forth, though we cannot see into what we may call the immediate future, yet we can also thank God that we have reason to be thankful, that we do know something about what is to come, particularly for us, the believers, the Christians. We do know what is in store for us in the far-reaching future. In our case, we know what? We know that we must all die. And of course, the non-believers also knows that. But there is a difference. We know that we must all one day die, but for the Christians, we have the hope of resurrection and we have knowledge of the hereafter, if it is the Lord's will to take us at whatever age of our life. We know that we have the hope of resurrection, and we know that after that, what will happen to us, because we know it from Scripture. We have such knowledge, and that knowledge distinguishes us from the unbelievers. If God had not meant for us to know, not in full details, of course, of our future, then there is no point to, as we see in Scripture, or as taught in Scripture, there is no point for God to teach us to prepare for the future, to prepare for the new heaven and the new earth, a better experience. He would have kept that from us also. But having given us this mind, having given us this understanding or this intellect, which is evident from our observation and also our inward consciousness as we see from Scripture, and we must know that death will come, and God would have us prepare ourselves for that day which will follow, and look out for that which is beyond. So in that, we give thanks to God that we, as God's children, and with the Holy Spirit enlightening our understanding, we have that. And so we thank God for that. Though the knowledge of our future, when we meet with the Lord Jesus, is not given to us in great detail, yet we have this hope of glory. And we know that if the Lord Jesus come not first, we shall die. We know that our soul shall live forever in happiness or in misery, if you are an unbeliever. And that according to whether we are found in Christ or without Christ, we may be thankful that we know this, so that we may be prepared for it. But still, we may be thankful also that we do not really know the great future in its details, and that it is shut from our eyes, lest it should have an evil influence upon our present life. So Solomon in this text in Proverbs 27 verse 1 is applying this truth that we know not about tomorrow, and he is directing this text to the boaster, to those who are proud, to those who say, like what we read in the gospel, tomorrow, or in James rather, tomorrow I will go into such and such a city, buy and sell, get gain, and go into another city and get more gain, and then I will amass my wealth so much, and I will say to my soul, just like that businessman who tore down the barns and built bigger barns, so thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Die, take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. So Solomon is directing this text to those who are boastful, to those who have no concern for their soul, but only set their heart and mind in growing their wealth. And of course, we know that there is nothing wrong, no sin, to be diligent in our work and to gain wealth. For it is also a blessing from the Lord, as we see in Moses' last words to the children of Israel, that it is the Lord who give thee health to gain wealth. But here we have to be very cautious, for us the believers, that we ought not fall into that, but to constantly bear in mind that we are limited in our knowledge of the future, and therefore it teaches us to seek the Lord, to, as what Solomon taught us in Proverbs 3, commit all thy ways to the Lord, and lean not unto thy own understanding. And so Solomon uses here with one purpose, to shame our growing pride and the certainty of prosperity, so that it may be used specially to cheer, to comfort those who may have the tendency of despondency. And so to shed also a ray of light into the thick darkness of our fear. So our subject this afternoon is support or comfort or consolation for those who are despondent. And I like to first of all address firstly support for Christians undergoing immediate distress and present affliction. Of course, there are those Christian believers who are much troubled and fearful about the future. They have this imagination or this idea that they are fearful, perhaps of which oftentimes is unfounded, because they have really no idea. It's just a presumption that there may be some trouble coming. But here I want to speak to those who may be going through at the present moment some distress and affliction. And we are aware of that, that there are Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, who are in affliction, who are troubled by many cares of this life. And so it will not be a waste of time then if I say to you who are troubled especially about worldly matters concerning where to eat, where your food will come, when, how to supply the food, your three meals, and all these things. And so I want to point out to you that there is comfort or support for you in this passage. And that is from that text or that statement, thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Or to quote it in another way, in another part of scripture, we do read of such words, who can tell? Who can tell? You may say, and those perhaps has reached such a state of despair, and you may think and feel that it is all over for me. It is over. I blew it, and I'm giving up. Oh, my friends, do not give up so easily. Do not give up so easily. Why? For one day longer, for you know not what a day may bring forth. And if tomorrow bring no deliverance to you, hope on at least for one more day. For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. So hope on another day. Don't give up so easily. You never can tell. Who can tell? At least for one more day, there is no room for despair. Look at it in another way. Just like sometimes we have this saying, right? My cup is not half empty, but it is half full. You know? So therefore, as Christian believers, we must not forget that we have hope in Christ. Only in Christ. And so therefore, hope, continue to hope. You cannot conclude that God has forsaken you, or that providence has utterly turned against you. It may seem so. Sometimes we do with our own human level of assessment of the situation that it is hopeless. At least you know not what may be on the morrow. So wait till you have seen that day out before you give up. Give not up yourself a hopeless victim to despair till you have seen what tomorrow may bring you. What unexpected outcome there have been in the lives of those who have trusted in God. Is it not true? And therefore, I encourage you, brethren, particularly in your time of despair or discouragement, read some of this Christian biography of Christians in the past who have gone through great difficult times, and how the Lord in His mercy delivered them at the end. Yes, they went through fire and water, but take heart. Look at them. The Lord did not fail them. Though it seems that the Lord is far from them, but there at the end, they testify and wrote in their biography the faithfulness of the Lord. And so, you who are trusting in yourself may help yourselves as best as you can, but you who are trusting in God as God's children, you have ample reasons, sufficient reason to expect that God will come to your assistance if you are truly in Christ. You who are bought by the blood of Christ, will the Lord, having saved you and now abandon you? Impossible. It is yours to watch and yours to work as if everything depended upon you, but it is yours also to remember that everything does not depend upon you. Sometimes God has come in to help His people, His servant, so exactly as what we call at the nick of time. Is it not true? I'm quite sure. I'm quite sure. For those of us who have been Christians for many years and you are growing in grace, you have tasted that. That God come at strange time. That God come and work out mysteriously beyond expectation. And you think that there is no more help, no more hope. And suddenly, and so, it is like a miracle indeed. God does not nowadays, we know, as we see from Scripture, God does not nowadays drop manna from heaven to His people like what He did to the Israelites, but still, never doubt that God can bring the manna for all His people. There is bread enough, there is the raiment, and there shall be the Christian be contented. He will supply the needs of his people. All we need is to pray that the Lord will give us faith, increase our faith, to trust, to believe, and to wait upon him. He supplies his people's need by ordinary means, and herein he is to be wondered and adored. Look up then, brethren, let us look up. Wait till tomorrow at any rate, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let me add another exhortation to the Christians. Do not give up listening to the word of God. Do not give up reading the word of God. Do not say to yourself that I've been reading and reading, but there seems to be, I gain nothing out of it, and therefore I give up, it's no use. Do not give up also coming to the Lord's house for worship on the Lord's day. If you have not received a blessing, yet been in the way, you never can tell, the Lord may meet with you, for thou knowest not what may be on the morrow. So, brethren, let us plow on. Let us persevere. Of course, we need the help of the Holy Spirit. Make it your prayer. Ask the Lord. Plead that he will give you the grace and in the power of the Holy Spirit to hang on, to press on, to believe, to trust, to ask the Lord to remove from you or to clear that doubt in you, and to trust and obey, for you know not what tomorrow may bring. Next, do not give up praying. Whatever you may be praying for, perhaps you have been praying for the salvation of a loved one, or perhaps you have been praying to the Lord for, or petition the Lord for some things that you desire and that you need. If it is according to God's will, don't give up praying, because it is a common device of Satan, the evil one, to say to us, the Christian, ah, the Lord will never hear you. You look, you have been praying for months. You have been praying for years. Look at it. God has not answered your prayer, isn't it? And he will never answer your prayer because of this. Oh, because you are not walking close to the Lord, or because you have not enough faith, therefore stop praying. No. You, brethren, pray as long as you have breath. Pray as long as you have breath. Let it be your firm resolve to remain at the throne of grace and be like Jacob. Wrestle with the Lord and tell the Lord, I will not let thee go until or unless you bless me. Pray also like that widow who knocks on the door of the unjust judge, because the Lord Jesus, our Lord, delights in our importunity. He encourages us, the Lord Jesus encourages us in his word, that one day, the gate will be opened. Therefore, what is the promise? Ask and it shall be given unto you. What's next? Seek and ye shall find. One more. Knock and it shall be open unto you. Is that not the promise that the Lord made to us? Matthew 7 verse 7. Therefore, don't give up praying. Keep knocking. Keep pleading. And pray that the Lord will give you your patience to wait upon him. For you do not know the outcome. You do not know what tomorrow brings. You will be surprised that after that prayer, the Lord may, in his mercy, in his perfect will, according to the pleasure of his will, answer you. Now I move on to speak a word for the support of Christians who are worn out in the Master's service. I can sympathize with those who work for Christ, who serve the Lord Jesus, and feeling down, unsuccessful, not appreciated, you even sometimes criticize. I can understand that. And sometimes we say with Peter, Master, I have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Luke 5 verse 5. That could be your experience. And so it seems for me too. I have my fair share. And this perhaps indeed, as I was meditating upon this text in preparation of this sermon, it is a sermon for myself too. It is an encouragement for myself too. And so I want to say this to those who are in the Master's service for many years, and you may be feeling very weary and tired and feel like giving up. Whether you are serving as a preacher, minister, pastor, Sunday school teachers, or behind the scene doing very simple tasks, my dear brethren, do not give up. Do not give up. Indeed, we do not deny it is hard work, and sometimes it is very hurtful as we serve the Lord and we get all kinds of comments and criticism. Whether as a minister or a Sunday school teacher or a Bible study leader or in whatever service, let us go on preaching. Let us go on teaching even without success or with little success. I can imagine how you feel that you can speak no more. And therefore you are giving up and you weep over your failures. And you say with Isaiah the prophet, who have believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Isaiah 53 verse 1. And so I should not wonder, but I want to remind all of us, including myself, my text here says what? And it is a very comforting thought. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Therefore, brethren, do not cease from your good work. Persevere to the end. Look unto Jesus. Look at the finishing mark and race on and press on. You who are fainting today, we acknowledge that we are weak and we feel like fainting. We feel like giving up. But tomorrow may arise with new strength, new zeal, new vigor. That is why you see, I always pray in our corporate prayer here on the Lord's Day worship. We give thanks to God for what? A new day, a new beginning, a new week, isn't it? To walk with the Lord, to taste anew. So we must always have that in mind. We must always have that in mind, brethren, to encourage ourselves. The divine presence may overshadow your heart and drive your fears away. The next moment, you never know. Consoling you in your distress and making you feel as if it were well to be God's servant, even if one have no present reward. You will continue to persevere in the might of the Spirit if you lean upon the Lord Jesus. Even though you do not have or receive your reward here in this life. But remember, your reward is in the future when you meet with the Lord Jesus. You can never tell, as I say, the next day, as you go back to your work, as you go back to your office, as you go back to your school, you will find yourself discharging with renewed zeal, with renewed zest and with new power. Therefore, brethren, I urge every one of us, as much as you desire the pastor or the minister to pray for you, pray for him, pray for one another. We are weak. We are all weak. And we do not deny the fact, and we must acknowledge that there are times that truly, in our moment of feeling low and down, we just want to give up, we just want to walk away. So therefore, let us pray for one another that the Lord will refresh, renew us, strengthen us, empower by His Holy Spirit to press on. And then you will see the change. As you hang on, as you continue to trust God for tomorrow, keep at your work in the power of the Spirit of God, for you do not know what will come next. Pray for great things, and you may then expect them. Let us then, if you are working for the Lord Jesus, serving Him in whatever capacity, instead of going tired with service, hear what the Lord Jesus says to you in His Word. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Galatians 6 verse 9. So brethren, let us be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. You know not how soon. Tomorrow, perhaps. In fact, the next moment, perhaps after your prayer, you shall see success. For you know not what a day will bring forth. Keep these texts in your mind, brethren. Expect that God is going to do great things through you. And He will do them, for He does very much according to His people's expectation. According to your faith, shall it be done unto you. I want to close, of course, with a word of warning to those who are careless and thoughtless, those who care not about tomorrow, so to speak, those who care not about their souls, those who just live for the present, so to speak, those who just think that they are going to live on forever in this life, especially when things are going well, especially when things are just falling into place as what you expected, and then we will go into this state of carelessness and complacency. I want to give us a warning. For you know not what a day may bring forth. We look at it, this verse, at the negative side. Tomorrow may not be that grand party or that grand feasting or banqueting that you intend to go. That banqueting and that party may not come. Tomorrow it may not be that sweet sin, that lust, that place of sin that you want to go to. Tomorrow may see you on a sick bed. Tomorrow may see you on your dying bed. Tomorrow, worst of all, may see you in hell. Oh, sinner. Oh, dear friend. What a state to live in. To be in daily jeopardy of eternal ruin and damnation. To have the wrath of God hanging over you. To have the wrath of God who is angry with the wicked resting on you. Not to know, but that tomorrow you may be where you can find no escape, no hope, no comfort. Tomorrow in eternity. Tomorrow, banished from God's presence forever and ever. Tomorrow, to have that awful sentence trailing in your soul. When Jesus, as you stand before the Lord, He says to you, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Oh, dear brethren and friend, come. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to Him and seek Him. And those of us who are in Christ, as I said and I say again, let us seek the Lord's help. Turn to Him. Go on your knees to plead that the Lord will give you and I the strength to persevere to the end, to remain steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord till we see Jesus face to face. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this word of Your word of comfort, Your word of mercy. Indeed, Lord, it is Your mercy that You have concealed from us what we ought not to know. And indeed, it is for Thy glory to do that. And thank Thee also, Lord, that we have sufficient knowledge of our future, of our hereafter. And so we give thanks to Thee that we have such a gracious and merciful God to be our Heavenly Father who watches over us. Only grant us, O Lord, in this new week, Your wisdom, Your grace, and the enablement of Your Holy Spirit, that we may walk close to Thee and live our lives that will glorify Thy holy name and to enjoy Thee. So help us, we plead. In Jesus' name, Amen.